Does this presidential campaign seem especially uncivil to you?
A small, insecure money grubber.
She's a goofus. She is a goofus. I mean, this woman, she's a basket case.
Donald Trump and Senator Elizabeth Warren attacking each other there. Professor Cornell Clayton teaches government at Washington State University. He says, yeah, our politics are pretty divided right now, but that's not new.
Andrew Jackson was often referred to as Andrew Jackass or Andrew Dumbass, so much so that he eventually adopted the moniker for himself, which is why the Democratic Party to this day is represented by the donkey.
Professor Clayton says politics have been rough for a long time, and they are now, but that's not necessarily a bad thing.
These are all periods when we have very deep divisions in our society, and that's what's driving the incivility. Our politics becomes more passionate when our politics matters more. And our society is deeply divided today, and our political parties are highly polarized. And that means that our politics means a lot more today. That's why people become so passionate, and that's why you get incivility.
Well, let's define incivility, because that's pretty fraught right there. I mean, are we saying that a raucous protest is uncivil, or that politicians calling out their enemies is uncivil? You could see how defining what's uncivil in itself is kind of aggressive. You know
sure.
What I mean?
And I think the common way to think about incivility is that it's simply violating the traditional norms, customs, and conventions of behavior for a particular institutional setting. And so, you know, incivility, you can say things that are truthful and still be uncivil in the way you express them. You can say things that are untruthful and not be uncivil necessarily in the way you're doing it. So civility has nothing to do with truth, the truth content of your statements. It also is not necessarily related to democracy. I think a lot of people think that in order for democracy to function, we must have a very high level of civil discourse. And it's certainly true that there are certain forms of civility that are required in a democracy, but not all acts of incivility are by nature undemocratic. I'll just give you a couple of examples. You take, for instance, the women suffragettes in the 1920s. They were considered uncivil merely for speaking out publicly at a time when women were not supposed to be speaking publicly about politics. And yet we think of them today as actually not only undemocratic, we think of them as actually advancing the democratic cause by pressing their claims for democratic inclusion. Same thing with the modern civil rights protesters in the 1960s. Many of their acts were considered uncivil. For instance, the black athletes who raised a fist at the Olympics, or the civil rights protesters who desegregated lunch counters. They were certainly violating the norms and customs of and even the laws of Southern society. But we think of those acts as actually advancing democracy, not as a threat to democracy. So there are acts that are uncivil, that are undemocratic. So obviously acts of violence, threats, intimidation, acts that try to exclude people from being involved in democratic discourse, those are all undemocratic acts of incivility. But I think it's important to separate out, what is undemocratic from what is uncivil.
So you're saying there's been more incivility in the American past, but you do think we are very politically polarized right now? What do you mean, and what's the difference?
There have been past periods of deep, deep incivility in our politics. And what's happened over the last 30 to 40 years is we have sorted ourselves ideologically into these tribal-like parties. And what that has led to is affective polarization. It's led us to distrust and to actually start to loathe each other. And that is a much more emotional response rather than an intellectual response or even an ideological response. And it doesn't matter what facts you throw out at each other. We're not going to convince the other side, because this is really much more about emotionally how each side feels and how they feel about the other side and what the other side's doing or wants to do to this country.
What can I do to advance civility, but as you say, still try to get something done that maybe somebody else would rather I shut up about?
The question is whether our goal is to be civil for civility's sake, or whether our goal is to actually have our democracy function and operate. Democratic politics is oftentimes, it's about division. It's about competing views about where our nation ought to go. Now, oftentimes that discussion and debate, the natural byproduct of it is conflict and passion and heat. And sometimes that will lead to incivility. That concerns me much less, that style of discourse, than the actual issues that are dividing us. So one way, I think, to think about incivility in politics is to think about what it is. What are the issues that are actually dividing us? And let's focus on what those issues are, as opposed to whether somebody's called me a name or not, or whether or not someone's said you're stupid or you know, you're ignorant. It's much more important that we focus on the actual issues dividing our society today than the style of our discourse, I think.
Would you call Donald Trump uncivil?
Certainly. I mean, I think he's challenged almost every norm and convention of political behavior that we know. You know, the type of name calling he's engaged in. So he's certainly uncivil. I would also, my own personal view is he's also has some positions that I think are problematic from a democratic standpoint in terms of his view about who should be included in American democracy and whose voices should count and how we think about our fellow citizens. And that concerns me more than his name calling, to tell you the truth.
And yet Trump's millions of supporters might argue that he is being civil. He may be rude or coarse, but that I assume they don't go around thinking that he's uncivil and so are they.
I think that many of them actually recognize that he's violating the traditions and norms and conventions of acceptable behavior. In fact, I think many of them revel in that and say that he's not politically correct, that he's telling it like it is.
So maybe millions of Americans disagree that incivility is a problem.
I think that is the case. I mean, I think people oftentimes in a highly polarized political system like ours is today, they see incivility on the other side. They don't see it so much on their own side. Or if they see it, they can justify it as simply telling the truth.
So part of your takeaway is to listeners might be ease up on the civility police, being the civility police. That's not our biggest problem.
Well, I think it's oftentimes a distraction. Now, again, I think from a standpoint of leadership and from a personal level, I think being civil to each other is a great virtue. I think our political leaders ought to display civility because I think it's a mark of character. But I think that's different from the question of whether or not all acts of incivility threaten our democracy. And oftentimes it is the case that incivility can advance democracy in certain ways. Certain forms of incivility are always undemocratic, you know, violence, threats, intimidation. But other forms of incivility, you know, simply name calling, it's simply the byproduct of the give and take of democratic politics.
Professor Cornell Clayton is director of the Thomas S. Foley Institute of Public Policy and Public Service at Washington State University. Today, Donald Trump is campaigning in Ohio and Pennsylvania as his war of words continues with the Muslim parents of a fallen army captain.